being normal and stable, having a good family and supportive friends. These are things that we often long for, work for. These are things that our world says are important, and some of them are important. There are things that often cause us to rejoice when we obtain them and make us feel incomplete if we don't have them. And that's not all bad. I mean, the longing that we feel for intimacy is placed inside us by God Himself, because we weren't created to be alone. We were created for communion with our spouse, with others, and even with God Himself. And even the desire for power isn't all bad, because God gave us dominion over the earth. He made us to be caretakers of this planet, stewards over it. And He's given us the authority, the power, to do so. Now, when we want more power than God wants us to have, and when we abuse the power that God's given us, that's when the desire for power becomes a lust for power and becomes evil. But power itself, money, sex, normalcy, family, friends, even fame, these can be all gifts from God, as long as we recognize that they're from God and for God. But we sure can get consumed with God's good gifts sometimes, can't we? Friends, family, a godly spouse can all be good gifts that God blesses us with. But when we start focusing on them as our supreme treasure rather than on God, we turn them into idols in our lives. And we've all been guilty of that. And that's a problem. So how do we enjoy God's good gifts and yet not enjoy them too much? Well, maybe something like this.
If you inherited $20 million, what would you do with the money?
I would spend some on Starfall and leave the rest all for God.
Okay. You think you'd give all that money to God, pretty much?
Yeah, I would keep some in my pocket. Maybe I could fill that whole guitar bank.
Oh, yeah?
All those dollars.
Oh.
And money. And
do you know how much money $20 million is?
No.
It's a lot of money.
That much.
It's not that much money?
I don't know that much about money. I spend most of my days learning math, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of bad with math, but I'm still working on it and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
That was my daughter Amber when she was 6 years old. Every few years we ask our kids the same set of questions to see how they change over time. Well, anyway, when Amber was six, she recognized that with $20 million, she could buy a few things like Starfall, a learning website that she enjoys that costs maybe $35 a year. And then she wouldn't just spend all the money on herself, she would give the rest all for God. And she was so humble about it too, recognizing that she didn't know everything about money, but that she was still learning. She wasn't giving up. She would keep working on it and all that kind of stuff. Well, I think we should all have that attitude about good gifts from God. We can enjoy them, give them to God, and then continue to grow, continue to learn. I think that's excellent advice from Amber, even biblical advice. In fact, I think it's very similar to the advice that Jesus gave His disciples. Luke 10, 17 through 20. The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And He said to them, "I saw Satan fall from lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, direct us always to rejoice in you, because you're good. In your name we pray. Amen. If you remember, we've been looking at how Jesus sent out 72 of his disciples to every town and place where he himself was about to go. He sent them out into his harvest field so that they might prepare the hearts of those that they met, that they might be ready to hear Jesus when Jesus came to them. If you haven't heard those messages, you can find them on our website, graceisgood.org. Anyway, this is what came of all that. 72 disciples returned to Jesus with joy, as it says in verse 17. They returned with joy, saying, "Even the demons are subject to us in your name." They were excited. They were full of joy. They were amazed at the power that they could cast out demons in the name of Jesus. They were grateful for God's good gifts. Specifically, they were rejoicing that they could cast out demons. Now, I don't at all doubt that demons could be subject to us in the name of Jesus. Angels, demons, Satan, they're all real. And there's a real spiritual realm going around us all the time. And Satan wants us to experience the same fate as him, separation from God, hell. Because misery loves company, right? But when we trust in Jesus, Satan and all of his demons have no power over us, because God is infinitely more powerful than Satan. So I don't at all doubt that we have power over demons in the name of Jesus. But it's when we obsess over that idea that we become more thankful for power than for Jesus. More thankful for God's good gifts than for God himself, the gift giver. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says it this way: "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them, and entrusting to us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. So I implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You see, God gives us a power. He gives us an authority to do ministry, to show his grace. But it's all from God and for God. So that through our ministry and by his power, he's reconciling the world to himself. In other words, give God the glory. Give God the glory. Give him the glory for every good gift that he gives you. We have the tendency to receive a blessing from God and then look so much to that thing that we forget where it's come from. I've seen that over and over in my own life. God blessed me in some way. A little unexpected income, a little extra time to finish everything on my schedule, a ministry opportunity. But so often I take that blessing and make it about me. Instead of making the most of every opportunity, I miss the opportunity because I'm thinking about my own desires. Instead of giving extra to God, to the church, through the church, I hoard it all for myself. Instead of using the extra time for God, I waste it watching cat videos on YouTube. I mean, but God blesses us that we might be a blessing. God gives to us that we might be givers. And if we don't use what he gives us for his glory, then we can't expect him to continue giving us more and more, because we're not using it for his glory. Jesus said it like this: "To everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." Now, am I saying that we should be givers just so that we can get more from God? No. And I'm not saying that the blessings that God gives us are always material blessings. All I'm saying is that we can't outgive God. And that through Jesus Christ, we have incredible riches, both now and forever. But it's all through him and for him. And no matter what your circumstances are, that's true. It doesn't matter if you feel poor or rich, weak or strong. We have immeasurably more than we can possibly imagine or think through Jesus. But don't make it about what you want, your desires, because then you'll never realize the blessings. Give God all the glory. So Jesus responded to his disciples. Verse 18. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Wow. In other words, Jesus was telling his disciples, you're right. I gave you authority. Dangerous creatures, demons, even Satan, you're more powerful than all these things. And ultimately, they can't even hurt you. They have no power over your soul. In fact, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven. I mean, he thought he could be the ruler of heaven, but his power is nothing compared to God. In fact, Satan only has what limited power, Jesus says, that I give him. But you have greater power than Satan, and that all of creation, all of demons, everything like that can be subject to you. See, we have the power of God in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Man, if you trust in Jesus Christ, He is with you all the time to help you. And even though we will certainly face dangers in this life, I mean, we have the victory in Christ to have victory in Christ over every evil thing that comes our way.
Phenomenal cosmic power!
I wonder if that's how we think of ourselves sometimes. I mean, it's kind of true. Since God's phenomenal cosmic power is in us, in our itty-bitty bodies. But do we think it's our power? Or do we wish it was our power? But verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Jesus says this to them. Regarding all those powers you enjoy, never mind all that. That's crazy, right? I mean, we love to enjoy power, fame, sex, money, family, friends, even just having a normal and stable life. But Jesus looks at all these good gifts that He gives us and says, never mind all that. Why? Because God doesn't give us gifts through Christ so that we can boast about the gifts. God doesn't give us power in Christ so that we can boast about the power that we have in Christ. And it's not even so much that we can boast about our position in Christ, because we're not better than anybody else. But the Bible says, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Christ alone is good. Point to Him and give Him the glory. You see, it's a constant temptation to make life all about us. All about what we want. And then seek after those things rather than rejoicing in God. But even when God blesses us with something in some way, we take it and we might thank God briefly for it, but then we run with it and then we use it all for ourselves. We boast. We boast about what we have, about our accomplishments, what we've done, even about what we're going to do, and even though we haven't done those things yet, but we're nothing before God. And any good thing we have is from Him and for Him. Paul said it like this, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Do we feel that way? I've got to confess, I don't always feel that way. I want to boast about me. I want to boast about my accomplishments. I want to boast about how awesome my church is, how great my kids are, how beautiful my wife is. And some of these things I want to boast about because I'm so thankful that God has given them to me. But some of these things I want to boast about because I think that I've earned them in some way. And I like to think that I've earned them. I like to think that I've made something of myself. But as long as I think that way, I'm missing out on the even greater blessing of being made by God. See, the longer we boast about being self-made men, the longer we put off being God-made men. The longer we boast about what we can do and about what we've done, the less we remember about what Jesus has done and is doing in us. So Jesus told his disciples, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." We can get so focused on good gifts and get distracted by them that we can miss the very best gift. We get so focused on the good gifts that we neglect the gift giver. We miss the party. So rejoice. Rejoice not in what you can do for God, but what God has done for you. And enjoy the best gift, salvation, Jesus Himself. And yes, serve Him. Accomplish things for Him. But never forget that as God uses you to accomplish things, it's through His power. It's from Him and for Him, for His glory. When the disciples had gotten back from their mission, they were rejoicing in their accomplishments rather than Christ's accomplishments. In their power rather than Christ's power. I mean, yeah, they said it was in Jesus' name, but it seemed like they were more excited about the power they had than Jesus' name. You know, we can get so power hungry, wanting to be great, wanting to be known, wanting to make a name for ourselves. But when Christ gave us the Great Commission, it wasn't to exert our authority, but to reveal His authority. Because all authority in heaven and on earth was given to Jesus. Because you see, Christ's power was most fully revealed, not when He was healing people or casting out demons, things that we look to as being great, but His power was most fully revealed when He was most weak, when He died on a cross. That's how our names are written in heaven. You know, today's Palm Sunday. This was the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And everyone was singing His praises. They were waving palm branches in the air, singing, "Hosanna! Blessed be the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Man, what fame! What power! I mean, seeing Jesus come into Jerusalem that way. He was on top of the world. But Jesus seemed to say, because the full revealing of His power and authority didn't come through the praise of men, through His miracles, just like it couldn't come through the gift of Satan when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. But Christ's full power was shown when He made Himself nothing for the men that praised Him and then crucified Him, which is you and me. And it was because He endured the cross that Jesus received the greatest joy set before Him, His glory and our redemption. I wonder if our problem is that we often try to get joy without enduring the cross. We try to get power and fame and sex, even normalcy and family, without suffering, without tears. In other words, we try to steal joy. But Jesus told His disciples, never mind all those things. There's an even greater joy. In other words, trying to steal joy for yourself doesn't give you the greatest joy. Trying to be happy apart from Jesus ends in emptiness. The greatest joy comes not in what we can earn for ourselves, but what Christ did for us. Now, it's not wrong to rejoice in simple gifts from God. In fact, it's good. I mean, as long as we recognize that it's from God and for God. And remember that no matter how much blessings we experience in this life, the greatest is yet to come. Because if you trust in Jesus Christ, your name is written in heaven. It's written in a book, the Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name is in that book, man, immeasurable riches. Jesus is your Savior. Heaven is your home. And heaven isn't a boring place of clouds and fat angels. It's the greatest place of all eternity. Unending joy. It's described as a feast. And I don't know about you, but I like to eat. And I'm excited about that. It's the wedding feast where Jesus presents His bride, the church, spotless because of His sacrifice. And we'll rejoice. Not in the temporary things of this life, not like bank accounts and fame, but in Christ. So if we're going to rejoice like that forever in eternity, why not start now? Rejoice that you're going to rejoice. And rejoice in the things that we're going to rejoice in. Rejoice in Jesus. Because He is the Savior. And His mercies are new every day. And you're going to have eternal life with Him forever in heaven. You see, heaven is a party. But the party starts here. Eternal life is defined in the Bible not just as duration of life, but of quality of life. Jesus says it this way, "This is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." Eternal life is defined as simply knowing the only true God, who is Jesus. Life. True life isn't found in all those things that we often look forward to in this world, but in knowing Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Do you see Him as more valuable than your name, your money, even your life? If not, you don't know yet what it means to party. So right now I'm inviting you to the party. Rest in Jesus, and you will know what it means to truly rejoice forever in Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for You. Help us to rejoice at all times in You, because nothing can compare with You. Forgive us of how we make life about anything but You. And help us to join You in the party. In Your name we pray. Amen.